you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Thanks for listening to the Believe You Me podcast, which is brought to you by Manscaped.com, the very best in below-the-belt grooming.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. The Lionheart is back. I'm back as well. No one cares, but still. Anthony, you had surgery. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm on the mend. Had surgery on Saturday. And this one kicked my ass, to be honest with you. This was a tough one.
So obviously you had a break in the leg. So what did they do? Did they fuse it together? Did they put a titanium shin bone?
No titanium shin bone, screws and pins, just to pull that break back together.
No plates, just screws and pins. Okay. Yep. Okay. And how's it feeling?
Oh, it hurts like a motherfucker. It sucks. Like I've never had a lower leg injury, like nothing below my knee ever. It's different. It's definitely different.
But you know what? What a trooper this guy is. What a legend this guy is. He's flying out to San Diego shortly to join me. That's why I'm here in the hotel room looking like a Simpsons character because I'm on the old webcam that I used to use, which just likes to put a little yellow tinge onto me for some goddamn reason. Let me ask you, flying off, you've got every excuse in the world to say, do you know what? I'm not going to be there. But you're still going to be there.
Yeah, you know, when my mom passed away and like during the time she was really sick, I had a bunch of obligations to the UFC and the UFC and ESPN essentially came to me and said, listen, we know you want to do this. We know that you will do this, but we're not going to allow you to. You need to stay home. You need to do the son thing and take care of your family and all that stuff. And they paid me for all of them.
Oh, wow.
So, and I don't owe them anything. They don't expect it in return. So just because I got like a bum leg and it hurts, like I owe it to them to keep my obligation. Like this would be one of those ones where it's like, it's just not super convenient to fly right now and, you know, crutches and getting pushed in a wheelchair through the airport and having to do all the bullshit through the hotel, everything on crutches, no weight bearing. Like it all sucks, but it's just an inconvenience. Like I can still do it. I'm good to go. So I owe it to them to keep that.
Oh, and well done. What a good man you are as well. A man of your word. But I just want to say this because every time I say anything like this, I always get accused of being a UFC shill. But what you just said there, they don't have to pay you, right? Mm-hmm. It sucks, Anthony, you broke your leg and you're going to be out of commission for a little bit. Sadly, the news with your mother and stuff like that. But that's the type of things that they do that doesn't make the headlines. Like there was a guy on the Contender Series a few weeks ago. Afterwards, Dana heard of his struggles. I shouldn't probably be saying this, but Dana gave him a massive stack of cash. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get looked after. Do you know what I mean? They do care. They do have a fucking heart. A lot of the media like to spin this narrative that they're big, greedy, evil Dana and they don't fucking care. The reality is they have a business and they have a business model that they follow. Do you know what I mean? Right. But the money's there to be earned and they do care. They don't treat you like shit. But anyway, Anthony, it's not a competition, okay? But if it was a competition of flying with injuries, I'd win. When I had my knee replacement, I had this fucking company that I used to do a bit of work for, right? The guy that ran it that I used to be very good friends with, now we don't speak at all, he said, yeah, we had to go to a NASCAR event in fucking Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm like, I've just had a knee replacement. I've like literally just had it. No, Mike, you've got to go. I said, are you going to be there? He says, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm like, oh, Mike, you've got to come. So I fucking, oh, I went. What a nightmare that was. I get there. That little prick wasn't even there. Said that apparently there was his auntie was in the hospital. Oh, I shit the bed. Oh, I was not happy.
He's trying to make me cry.
Oh, fuck yeah. Him. No, knee replacement's got to be a totally different deal. Like, I'm getting around all right. I'm on crutches and, you know, the scooter and whatever. I'm getting around okay. It just
a scooter sucks.
Yeah, a scooter. Like, you kneel on it with your bad leg.
Oh, one of those. You
scoot yourself around. Yeah.
Are the kids loving it?
No, because I'm making them do everything. Because there's like the little shit. Like, if there's a drink over there that I want, but it's 10 feet away, it's way easier for them to fucking go get it than me to get up, get on the crutches, hobble my dumb ass over there, grab it, come back, figure out how to crutch and hold a drink.
But so did the kids get on the scooter and get it though? Because I know my little will be like on that fucking thing all over the place, smashing plates, bumping into things.
Fucking with the crutches, they think it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
They have no sympathy for me at all.
No. Well, you know, you're the dad. They don't really care, do they? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to it, if you died, God forbid, they would care. Do you know what I mean? But other than that, it's like, I remember my dad, my old man, he had a quintuplet heart bypass. So that's five. Mm-hmm. They replaced five of the arteries in his heart, even though there was five. A crazy surgery. They had to slice his chest open, rip his rib cage apart, take veins from his legs, basically just completely rewire him. But I think I was 16 or 17 at the time. And at that point, you're just still wrapped up in your own feelings and your own world. And I went to visit him in hospital at this specialist heart surgery place in Blackpool, a town in England. And it's not that I didn't care, but I don't think I understood the gravity of the situation.
Right, like, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He's all right. Get up.
What are you being so lazy for?
Lazy bastard. Take me to football.
The first day when I first get home from the hospital, like, you know how it is with just the surgery pain, and it's just anything you do at all, any movement you do just hurts. Mm-hmm. So when they can tell that I'm in a lot of pain, then they're the sweetest little caretaking little girls. But once I'm moving around and stuff, they're like, fuck him. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine, the little prick. Okay, so, all right then. Should we get Harrington on and get him to throw an actual topic at us? Because you don't have too much time today. We are in San Diego. We've got fights to cover. We've got Dominic Cruz taking on Marlon Chito Vera at the weekend. We're both going to be here. Maybe we'll have a little beer, Anthony, in person.
We should.
I don't drink anymore, but okay, fuck it. If you insist.
I insist.
How can I? Harrington is not here. He's still MIA. Brian, hello. He's MIA.
Yeah, he's stuck at his other job as well. So right now he's starting a show over there, and he'll be back.
So he doesn't give a fuck about us.
Yeah,
well, he doesn't give a fuck about us.
Let's go with that.
This is the thing. People are like, why are you so mean to Harrington? It's because he picks us up and puts us down at his disposal. No loyalty to the show whatsoever.
We're just a hobby for him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we're trying to build something here, a real passionate audience, you know what I mean? I think we're doing a good job, but he's holding us back. He's holding us back.
Did you see that clip from Ariel's show the other day?
No, I didn't, no, because I saw in the group text that Harrington was saying pretty cool that Ariel was talking about the podcast or something, but I didn't see it. What was it?
So he had asked me to come on Wednesday, and I said, I'll come on, so we schedule it. And then that night, or Tuesday night, I see something on his Instagram, and it's talking about him and his goddamn well done steaks. And he was going and he was rehashing that temperature thing. So I went back to our last episode together, and I clipped that one part where we're making fun of him and called him a woman. So I clipped that one part, and I said, hey, I got a really funny clip for you. Cause sometimes I'll just send him funny shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, y'all send it. So I sent it, and he was like, are you fucking serious? Like, he was like, are you guys serious? So then he's like, can we bring this up on the show? And I was like, yeah. So he played that clip from me and you on the show. And then we argued about the well done steaks and the temperature thing. It was really funny.
Oh, good.
He's a good sport.
Yeah, no, he is. He's got a good sense of humor. But I did wonder when I said that. He's a woman, you know. a woman.
I laughed hysterically, too. Like, I almost pissed my pants. I was laughing so hard. He was like, you couldn't stick up for me even a little bit. No.
But you know what? Go on, Brian. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say he did mention that you badmouth him on this show, yeah.
I don't badmouth him on the show. It's called Busting Balls. But, you know, the Busting Balls can only go so far. Do you know what I mean? There is a limit. Now, Darren Till is a very good friend of mine. And I have so much respect, and he's hilarious, and he's a great fighter, and I still think he's going to be a champ one day. You know, but he did go a bridge too far, because I remember Ariel texted me a while ago, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but Ariel won't care, and I don't think that bloody Darren Till will give a flying fuck, let's be honest, because he doesn't. Ariel texted me, new number. I said, oh, thanks. All right, got it.
He said, you did the same thing to me.
He said, do you know why I've got a new number? I'm like, no, I don't. He said, because Darren Till publicly tweeted my number to the world. You know, he said, and then all he got was a nonstop slew of abuse and people talking shit. And he said it was just relentless, nonstop, as I'm sure it would be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you say? Did Darren Till overstep the mark on that one?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. He definitely did. Like, it's one thing to mess with people, but like, I've had my phone number forever. So if I had to change my number, that would be oh my God. Speaking of phone number changes, you remember when me and you got in trouble on ESPN?
When did we get in trouble? Which time?
Right shortly after you most recently changed your number. So we were working an event together. I don't remember. We were in like Boston or Tampa or something. And you had told me earlier in the day, hey, Anthony, like we'd seen each other. And you said, hey, text me tonight. Let's go have a drink. Yeah. So I text you at 5. I didn't hear anything. And then someone was like, yeah, Bisbing's down the street having a drink. We should go down there. I was like, well, he didn't respond. Maybe he's trying to avoid me. I don't fucking know.
Never. In a million years.
I had texted you at 10 after that. Like, hey, bro, they said you're down the street. Let's have a beer. Nothing. So I'm at the desk. I'm at the desk. The fights are getting ready to start. We're doing the little sound checks and you're down cage side. And they say, hey, Anthony, talk to the cage side people. You know, talk to the commentator, see if they can hear you. And I said, hey, Bisbing. Thanks for ignoring my fucking text message, you asshole. And you said, I got a new fucking number, you piece of shit. And we were live. We were live in Bristol. The people in Bristol were listening.
Yeah. They don't like that Connecticut, like ESPN, of course, you know, it's a very, very corporate society and organization. They're very proper. They're good people, you know, but they don't like effing and jeffing, as we say in England, on the airwaves.
Joe V let me have it.
Oh, did he really? Shout out Joe V.
Joe V gave me an
earful. He's the fucking man. We're peeling back the curtain here behind the scenes. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, enough peeling back. Should we peel forward? I would have Harrington throw some suggestions to us, but Harrington is here. Also, I have a what? Oh, thanks for joining us, Harrington. Glad to see you could, you know, carve a little bit of time out your day.
I was here at 6 p.m. when we were supposed to be started, but you know, no one's counting.
Well, a hobbyist over here.
Yes. Redeem yourself. Throw a story at us, and none of these overly political ones. Okay, we're not discussing Donald Trump and the FBI raiding his house. What do you want to say? You're either a Republican or a Democrat. I don't want to split the audience. Do you know what I mean? Don't do that. And I'm not. And I haven't been following it anyway. And it's not even that interesting. We're here for shits and giggles, MMA talk, and making fun of you. Do you know what I mean? We're not here for hard. You want to see that shit? Go to Fox News or CNN, because you're gonna get none of that crap with us.
All right. Fair enough. All right. How about this one? I don't know if this one is too political. Meta, right? Facebook, they developed a new chat AI, right? You can go in and you can message with this artificial intelligence that's been culled from essentially the internet, right? They've taken many, many users from across their different platforms, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, et cetera, and they've developed a chatbot that you can ask it any kind of questions. Unfortunately for Facebook, or Meta, as they're called now, when they were asked about founder Mark Zuckerberg, their response was, he's creepy and unethical. And when asked about the company itself, it said it puts profits over people and it's bad for society.
So that is what the artificial intelligence, that is the opinion that it has gathered from all of its artificial intelligence.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the artificial intelligence itself has figured out Facebook, no good.
What do you say, Anthony?
His company exploits people for money and he doesn't care. It needs to stop. Are we united yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the only real opinion, and maybe this, I don't think this is getting political, but it was for a while, was watching Zuckerberg when he was testifying in front of Congress or something like that.
Yeah.
It was he's the creepiest fucking guy. Like, he's so deadpan and so just not human seemingly. So I wouldn't be surprised if that Meta chat is actually him, because he's a robot. He's a weird dude.
Well, you know, he's a lizard person, right, Anthony? So
What's a lizard person?
Oh, you should Google lizard people. It's a very fun rabbit hole.
Don't. It's don't one of those that. Things that you can do on Facebook. That is what Facebook's good for, getting a ton of misinformation. But let's be honest, you don't need artificial robots. You don't need state-of-the-art artificial intelligence to look at Mark Zuckerberg and know that he's a creepy fuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't.
You just look at him.
Just look at him and see there's something so poncy about him, isn't there? You know, he just like knows it all. And I mean, he does. He's definitely smarter than me. He built Facebook and he's loaded. But
who's the MySpace guy? Who was the MySpace guy? What was his name?
No idea.
Tom.
Tom from MySpace. That's who I miss. Tom from MySpace.
I never did the whole MySpace thing. I wasn't
you missed on that,
that
one.
I did. I missed it. Yeah, I wasn't social media at all back then. I first heard about MySpace when I was on The Ultimate Fighter 3. Tate Fletcher told me all about it. But There we go.
When MySpace was a thing, I was in like middle school.
Do you remember when you signed up to Twitter?
I do.
When was that?
08.
09. I was doing my training camp for Dan Henderson for UFC 100. I was staying in the MGM Grand Signature Suites. And someone was telling me about Twitter. I said, all right, I'll sign up to it. And I was like, what do you do? I don't get it.
That's the weird part. Like, if you don't follow anybody, you don't see anything. Like, Facebook, you can join a group or something, and you can see shit. Or Instagram, you're like, I don't know. If Twitter was weird for me. It was just nothing. And then you start following people, and people retweeting it. Yeah. I remember it like one day I'd followed, like, I don't know, 100 people that I thought were interesting. And then Twitter just, the gates of Twitter opened up.
Yeah. No, it's, I spent too much time on social media anyway. Harrison, what is Brad Pitt doing these days? He showed up at premieres wearing a skirt.
Yeah. So Brad Pitt, who you may remember in a leather skirt from the movie Troy, decided to go, you know, full on gender bender following in the foots of Harry Styles and a number of other celebrities. He showed up to the red carpet premiere of the new movie Bullet Train wearing a skirt. When he was asked why he was showing up wearing a skirt, his answer was, hey, we're all going to die anyway. Let's mess some stuff up before we go. He also predicted that by next summer, most men are going to be wearing skirts. You guys going to go shopping for skirts after this?
Listen, I'm a fan of Brad Pitt. I enjoy the body of work. I thought he was very good in a lot of his movies. Snatch was incredible. Fight Club was another good one. The list goes on. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and no doubt Bullet Train is great. But if he's suggesting that I'm going to be walking around in a fucking skirt come this time next year, I will slap his face. No, I will not be doing that. Stop pandering. Turning up wearing skirts. Listen, Harry Styles, if he wants to do that, that's his thing. And some people do it. And of course, the Scots have worn kilts for a long, long time. But this, listen, you know, you do you.
That's a borderline dress, weirdo.
It's a dress. And he's just doing it for clicks. You know what I mean?
Right.
If he identifies as a woman, go ahead. You know what I mean? Fair enough. But he doesn't.
I would wear a kilt, though. If I was doing like some Scottish event or some beer drinking escapade with Paul Craig. I would.
I'm also fucking literally Dane to wear a kilt. I am. Though.
I would wear a fucking kilt. I would.
I must admit the kilts look good. You see him like a Scottish wedding.
No.
Why?
No. Not doing weird shit. I bet it's cool in the summertime.
Oh yeah, of course you get a nice little bit.
Yeah,
of
just free ball it right there in the skirt
on your balls, especially after you've used your manscapes and you've cut them all and they're all trim and you get a nice little breeze up there. Yeah. Nah, not really my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. What's the most feminine thing you've ever worn, Anthony?
I've worn lots of feminine shit, like being funny for sure. I bet once a month I put one.
You ever dressed up in your woman's in your wife's underwear just to see what it looks like, to see how it feels on your body?
No, to be funny though, I have. Like my kids think it's hilarious. Like when we're doing laundry and shit. Like I'll put one of my wife's bras on and walk around the house. I probably got a picture of her around here somewhere. Stupid shit, you know. For sure. I do wear women's deodorant full time though, all the time.
I don't give a shit about that. Do you know what I mean? I'll use my wife's.
A lot of people think it's weird as shit.
Oh really?
That's
no, it's deodorant.
Yeah. I think it's better.
What is the brand?
Dove.
Dove. It's classic. Dove. Classic. Yeah. Classic.
I'd be a fancy woman if I was.
Yeah, we need to see those pictures of Anthony Smith in high heels and suspenders. Oh, my God. Oh, no, I promise.
Oscar.
I was just messing around for the kids. Okay, buddy. Okay.
All right, De La Hoya.
Hey, whatever. De La Hoya, there you go. Hey, whatever you guys get up to, you kinky little devils, you know, that's on you, buddy. Okay. You know, just get the leg right.
You're not
going to
answer that question?
Or me? I think I might have done that at some point, put a woman's bra on for a laugh, you know what I mean, when I've been drunk.
Oh, I'd do it sober.
Yeah,
my
why
kids
not?
Think it's hilarious. I don't know why, but I'll put like one on my head. They think it's funny. They're little girls. They think it's funny.
Are you an entertainer for the kids? Because I used to be. I mean, they're a little bit older now, so they don't.
I'm like a fucking rodeo clown around here. Like that's. Yeah. I think that's the only thing I'm good for.
I used to do stupid magic tricks all the time. Do you ever do the one where you get a tea towel? You know, what do you guys call it? A tea towel. Like in the kitchen, a kitchen cloth or something. We call it a tea towel.
Dish rag.
No, that's for the dishes. The tea towel
like
is like
a towel.
Like a hand towel in the kitchen. We call it a tea towel. And you get it, and then you get a spoon, and they can't see the spoon, and you're like, and it's going, ooh. And, you know, I'm pretending it's a ghost. I'm like, Granny, can you hear me? And then it goes, ooh. Ooh, and the kids are freaking out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I love that one. Man. Kids don't like it anymore, though. I guess Callum's 21. He's kind of grown out.
They probably get it now.
Yeah. Like, Dad, you're a dickhead. Stop it. All right, guys, I want to tell you about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Listen, if you need to manscape, if you need to trim your below-the-waist area, you know, you're franking two beans. You got to clean it up. You got to be smooth. You got to do it in a way that's not going to hurt yourself. That is where the Manscaped Performance Package comes in. Of course, it includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their latest and greatest design. It's waterproof. It's got the skin-safe technology. It's got a light. It's got a great battery. It lasts a long time. It's awesome. Honestly, if you're a man, you really should have a Manscaped in your life. But the 4.0 package, the performance package, also includes the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. So, you know, we all get it. My nose is, I'm using this thing on an almost daily bloody basis these days. So you got the Weed Whacker in there. You got the Lawnmower. You got the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, so you're smelling nice and fresh. You got the Crop Reviver toner, you get boxer briefs, and you get a travel bag. So not a bad little package for all your manscape needs and requirements. You could also get the Shear 2.0 kit, which is for your feet. You get the stainless steel nail cutters, you get the tweezers, and you get the grooming scissors to take care of your feet and keep you looking, you know, presentable by the pool or just in everyday life. You know, your wife doesn't want to see you with all manky toenails. And if you got manky toenails, trim them down, get them looked good, get them manscaped. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com. Use the code Bisping20 at checkout. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping. So a very good offer. Manscaped.com. Bisping20 is the code. You get 20% off and free shipping. Harrington, come on then. Throw a bit of MMA news at us. Some stuff. Hold on. Let me have a look. Cannonier versus Strickland set to headline UFC Fight Night.
Yes, sir. So the two, I believe those are the two last people. They both fought on a card together. They, you know, had, a high level middleweight bouts. They both lost. So, yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to match those two up. And they are going to 5-round fight, headlining a fight night in November.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They both
fought on the same card. Both lost. Both got beat. They're both top middleweights. Yeah, I like it. Who do you think wins? Early prediction.
Jared Cannonier. I was trying to think of a way to like not sound like a dick to Sean Strickland because I like Sean, but it's just a tough matchup. There's just so many good athletes above Strickland in the rankings. He's gonna have a tough time with every single one of those guys.
Yeah. Not much more to say about that yet. We'll get to it. What's going on with Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira? Apparently, what was it? Makhachev says that Charles Oliveira initially turned it down.
Yeah, so Charles Oliveira was, according to Islam Makhachev, was going to Dana White saying that he wanted to fight Nate Diaz or Conor McGregor for the lightweight title. He kept getting no's from all of them, and eventually the UFC had to come back to Charles Oliveira and say, look, if you don't take this fight with Makhachev, we're going to match up Makhachev versus Chandler for the lightweight title, and that is what got Charles Oliveira to sign on the dotted line to go fight Makhachev in Abu Dhabi.
But that's according to Islam Makhachev. And who was he saying that to? Was that, I know he did a sit down with DC recently. Was that with DC? And again, that's according to Islam Makhachev. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's a liar. I'm not saying he would dream of doing such a thing. He's a man of honor and God and religion and principles. But still, a little bit of shit talk goes a long way.
Well, even if he was, I don't think for a second Charles Oliveira is afraid of Islam. All those names got big, juicy, goddamn paychecks connected to it. So I would, especially because the UFC has given him his pay-per-view points. So even though he doesn't currently hold the title, they gave him his pay-per-view points for his last fight and leading into this fight as champion. So if you get in there with Nate Diaz, you get in there with Conor, he's chasing checks. So
of course he is.
Why would you not do that first? If you can get a Conor fight or a Nate Diaz fight and you're the one holding the pay-per-view points, fucking do that shit. I'm not going to be mad about that for a second.
No, and Oliveira's built his legacy. Do you know what I mean? He had a great run at featherweight, but then since he's gone up to lightweight, he's been sensational. He's got the most stoppages in the UFC. He's won the belt, defended the belt. He's had a legendary career. He will now go down in the UFC Hall of Fame at some point without question. And also, I tell you, the only reason why I'm a little bit skeptical about that, Harrington, is because Charles Oliveira is supremely popular right now, right? Everybody knows that he is the champion of the world, but he's just uncrowned. Or did he get it back? No, he's uncrowned, isn't he? Because he didn't make weight. I don't know that the UFC would do that. Because Dana even said, Charles is the champ, he just hasn't got the belt. But everyone knows he's the champ. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that Dana would say, right, well, we're going to do a lightweight title fight without Charles Oliveira. I mean, granted, if he said that he's turning everybody down, but he's not. He's fighting Islam Makhachev.
Right. It's the toughest fight in the division.
Toughest.
Super tough. So maybe what he did was is he drug out the process a little longer, seeing if he could get one of those guys. Like, all right, I can't get those guys. It's Islam. You know, like, and Islam just didn't want to wait.
Yeah, yeah. And look, listen. Can't blame the guy. You know what I mean? Probably wants to get his belt back first. If these discussions did take place, in his mind, he's like, well, hold on a minute. Let me pick off one of these other guys, get the belt, and then defend it against Islam. But whatever, there's a story in here about the contender on Tuesday night. Did you happen to watch that at all? Bo Nickel in the featured bout?
I didn't watch the fight. I seen a quick highlight of the finish. I'm a huge NCAA wrestling fan, so I'm very familiar with Bo Nickel for sure.
Yeah. So Bo Nickel came onto the contender. He's like apparently one of the best wrestlers of his generation, NCAA champion.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that time. Far.
Well, really? Really not? That was the narrative I was getting.
Okay, coming into MMA, for sure. The reason Bo Nickel is in MMA is because he wasn't good enough to make an Olympic team. And I don't mean that he wasn't good enough to make I don't mean it like that. Just the guys ahead of him and the two weight classes, the Olympic weights, he just can't beat those two guys. Now, we're talking Olympic medalists, world-class, some of the best wrestlers to ever come out of America. So, like, or to ever step on a mat in the world. So I'm not discrediting him because he can't beat those guys. But, like,
he couldn't make it to the Olympics. What a loser.
That's how it sounded.
No, it didn't sound like that at all. It did not sound like that.
So I guess I'm just a very wrestling purist. So he is the best wrestler, in my opinion, in folk style to come from wrestling into MMA. That's my opinion. The best folk style wrestler to ever come into MMA.
Like, and Cibito's amazing. Good,
but fuck yeah. He's a fucking monster. And he was mean too. Like, in his wrestling career, he has that, like, that tenacity and that meanness when he wrestled that's going to translate very well to MMA, because he was kind of just a bully, just want to hurt you and smash you kind of wrestler anyways.
So, for all the people outside of America that don't follow wrestling, which I think is probably going to be 97% of this podcast, we got a following in Uganda. We got the Moroccans. We got people in Venezuela. We are truly fucking international on this show. Bo Nickel, as Anthony just said, tremendously talented wrestler, came onto the contender Tuesday night. I had only had one fight, knocked his opponent out very, very quickly. Tuesday night came in, dominated his opponent, got the stoppage very, very quickly. I don't think it surprised anybody. And the UFC have put him onto a developmental contract. So he's going to fight again. And I saw Ariel Helwani talking a little bit of shit about it, saying, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Harrison, what was the question that you put in the notes? Because, hold on, where is it? I just look at it myself. Dana said that he's not ready to join the UFC yet at just 2-0. Wants him to win again. Look, listen. Fair enough, they're just trying to give him a little bit more experience. They're going to put him on the show again later in the season.
Look at Greg Hardy. I mean, they put him on a developmental
exactly.
deal, and he was still too green to be in there with most of those guys.
But look,
that's
at this.
The shitty part about being such a great athlete is he has one part of his game that's going to be tremendously better than anybody he's going to wrestle. There isn't a wrestler, there's not a fighter at middleweight that's going to contend with that guy wrestling-wise, just straight wrestling. So
no, not at all.
That's what sucks, though. But like, there's no one on the regional scene. His wrestling and athletic ability is so good. He's going to learn striking fast enough. He's going to beat anybody in the regional scene. Is he going to beat the guys in the top 15, the top 10, and handle those dudes right now? I don't believe so. But what do you do with them? You're kind of stuck. You either put them in the UFC and let them drown, or leave them out here on the regional scene beating the fuck
where
out of Pumps.
He can't get fights.
And he's not going to get any better. He's not going to get any better. No one's going to push him. He's not going to get any fights.
Because you know the regional scene, you're getting paid next to bloody nothing. You're going to say, do you want to fight Bo Nichols? Hell no.
No.
Why would I? What? No. For $750 or $500 plus a bloody 20% on all the tickets you sell? No, right. You're fine, buddy. Thank you very much. But you know what? Who else signed with the UFC? Anthony Smith had one professional fight. One professional fight, and then went on to become a UFC champion.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he had one fight. I think it went Hangman Choi, something like that. Then he fought Frank Mir, went on to become heavyweight champ, you know, so he did okay. Here's another pop quiz for you, because now Bo Nickel is 2-0. Which UFC fighter signed with the UFC at 2-0 and went on to become a champion?
Fuck, I don't know that one. Wait.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay, give me a clue.
He is known for being one of the greatest ever. Heavyweight. Cain Velasquez.
Popped in my head when you said that, because I remember Cain didn't have very many fights.
What were you going to say, Brian?
I don't think the point with Brock Lesnar has as much merit, because Brock Lesnar is used to performing on a huge stage regardless. He had, 10 years of experience regardless, like, of performing in front of a
ton
of people, you know?
No, 100%. But guess what? Bo Nickel has performed a sold-out Madison Square Garden. Do you know what I mean? That was all in the pieces, the promotion pieces on the Contender on Tuesday night.
Also, still, I think it's easier to do that at heavyweight, though.
Yeah, correct.
The technical and skill level. And I don't. You obviously have your John Jones at heavyweight. You got your Cyril Gons. And you got your couple guys there that are supreme technicians. For the most part, you got a lot of dudes that, like, if you're big and strong and athletic and you can do one thing really well, you can win. Cyril Gons,
a couple of dudes that are laying up against the fence, you know what I mean? Just like hold you for a little bit.
Or a great grappler. He's a really, really good striker that's figured out how to work his striking in MMA. But that middleweight, you got to kind of be able to do it all. You got to be a really good technician.
I couldn't help myself though on Tuesday night, because afterwards in his interview, Bo Nickel said, yeah, I can't wait to get let loose on these middleweights. I'm going to go right to the top. I'm going to take them all out. None of them could stop me. And I had to defend the UFC roster. And now it was a twofold attack, because on one hand, you know, I thought, shit, am I going to get a little message in my ear? Michael, you're downplaying the ability of the people on here. I'm like, well, I might be downplaying, but I'm also defending the UFC talent. Do you know what I mean? Because just because you're a really good wrestler doesn't mean you're going to come into the top 10, top 5 and just blow everyone out of the water, because wrestling up against the fence is much, much harder. I've wrestled and trained with some really good wrestlers, but against the fence, I can play that game. I can stop the takedowns. I can get back to my feet. I can hit submissions. It's a different world. So I was like, yeah, I'm very, very excited for the road that he's going to have. No doubt he's going to have a tremendous career, but slow your roll on being a champion just yet, buddy.
We see this a lot, though. Like, really, really good talents come in from other places, and they have these high expectations. Could Bo Nickel be that guy? 100%. But I haven't seen enough to sit here and tell the believers that bet your house on Bo Nickel. This guy's going to be a champion. Like, we'll see. I'd like to see him fight someone tough, because so far, don't think Bo Nickel would be upset about me saying this. The two guys that he fought didn't deserve to be in there with anybody, much less him.
Yeah. I see in the chat here, we have a little private side chat. Brian saying to Harrington, let's go to arm wrestle boxing. I have no idea. I mean, I've seen clips of it online, but what is the relevance to the podcast? Brian, Harrington, one of you, step up, explain, tell me, show me, play the video.
I just think it's hilarious for you guys to just let us know what you think about these silly, I don't know if you could call them MMA, well, you know, but they're
not. Well, I guess it is.
That's what I'm saying.
It's mixed martial arts.
Yeah. I mean, but is arm wrestling an art? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think so. Sylvester Stallone would say so.
Oh, Over the Top. Yeah.
That's the one movie. I've seen that one.
There over is the technique top. To arm wrestling.
Yeah, well, but is it a martial art? How do you define martial art? Combat.
I will combat look that art. Up.
Yeah.
But here's this let's wild ass video.
So of they got their hands Russia. Taped together. Oh, fuck yeah. They're chained to the table. Oh, I'd be the world champion in this shit.
Oh, my God.
That looks like a skinny Fedor in the back. Oh, my God.
Where's the chains?
They're chained to the table, like with a belt.
Get prostушку. Do we see any knockouts? Oh, my God.
Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, in
do
a you know fucking I mean? Heartbeat. I wonder if you could kick someone in the head like that, because I could feel like my legs are long enough. I could pull the arm. And
you've got the manual
the
dexterity.
Kick. Yeah. I could throw the head kick over the table.
In your fucking condition right now, you couldn't.
Oh, I'd grab one of these crutches so fast.
Yeah, wrap a crutch around your bloody head. You know, only in Russia. You know, you got footage of Russia, Ukraine getting bombed every day. Meanwhile, in Russia, there's them fucking tied up.
600 to a fucking, on 600.
Oh, my God. They're out of their goddamn minds, aren't they? But still, that is funny. Slap boxing, that's another one, isn't it? You know, we won't talk about what we know about, but because we don't want to let anything out. But have you seen that one?
Okay. I would never do that.
The slap boxing?
That's one thing I would never do.
For those that don't know what slap boxing is, it's where you both stand there toe-to-toe, head-to-head, face-to-face. Brian, look one up whilst I'm talking, and then you take it in turns at slapping one another as hard as you can. And you would be surprised at the amount of knockouts that you see in that. Now, we can't divulge too much, but me and Anthony were at an event recently, weren't we? And we might have been doing some commentary. Already said too much. But still, you know, I mean, my God, it is it's ridiculous.
It's fucking insane.
It's awesome, insane. Though.
It's some of the worst knockouts I've ever seen.
Oh, they're bad. Let's take a look. So you hold your hand there. You
this
can't
guy's good, too. This guy's good too. I watch this guy a bunch.
The guy on the right?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Go on. Brian, can we get a video?
Yeah, hold on. It's shit in the bed on me. I'm going to refresh it real quick.
Me and my friends here in the neighborhood around
have
that time. We'll sit in someone's basement. There'll be, you know, 15 of us there hanging out, like husbands and wives, and we'll just pull it up on the projector and we'll just watch people slap the fuck out of each other for hours.
It's like the lowest common denominator, but it is funny and it is entertaining.
Oh, he's going to push the pace again.
One, two, three.
Another good shot.
Oh. Whoa!
Young James goes down in round 8. He is out. It looks like this fight might be over.
It's the element of surprise, though, because you go 1, 2, 3, and that's the one. I'd go 1. Fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Because they're bracing for the 3. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's crazy how many rules there are, too. Either way, I hope that shit takes off, because
it's a highly technical sport, Anthony. Do not disparage it.
I would sit front row at every goddamn event they had.
The athletes involved in that sport are some of the best in the world, let me tell you.
Some of the craziest fucking people I've ever met in my whole life.
Some of the craziest rednecks you will ever run into. Oh my God.
Hey, so there's a girl here in Omaha that travels around and does that slap fight and shit. She was built for that. She was built for it.
What has happened to a young lady that, let's say, she's semi-attractive, that she finds herself in life doing that? Do you know what I mean? She's been down some path. She has been through some stuff.
She's been through some shit.
She has seen some shit. Do you know what I mean? If a woman that's like 30 years old is out there slap boxing for a living, come on, what is going on between the years there?
I don't know. I need to be her friend, though.
And they're guys, and the guys as well, let's be honest. The guys, come on. But it's different for guys.
This girl's good.
Oh, she took it well.
This redheaded girl, I've watched a bunch of her, too. I'm like a slap boxing connoisseur over here. I've watched so many of these things.
All right,
and this girl right here sucks. I don't even know why they let this happen.
Got the mouthpiece in. Safety first at all times, guys. Safety first.
Goddamn traps are bigger than mine.
Come on. Oh. Now, the thing is, what I've seen it sometimes on, it's dangerous because, you know, you see some of them get dropped and they're pretty much knocked out. You know what I mean? And in boxing, you know, they would stop the fight. In mixed martial arts, it would be finished because you pound on them and give them a few more shots and that's all she wrote. In this, if you don't actually go to sleep, they stand you back up and you've got to stand there.
Well, you can even go to sleep as long as you're back in the box.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
You get knocked out, then you've got to stand there and go, yep, go ahead, son. I'm just going to stand there and let you hit me as hard as you can. You know what I mean?
I would never do that. The arm wrestling fighting shit, totally would do that. But the slap fighting shit, no way.
$50,000 comes through an offer. Lionheart Smith, non-clashing with the UFC contract. 50 grand slap boxing against someone that can slap the shit out of people.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, and you would.
I changed my mind.
It's a bit of a, come on, it's a slap. Come
on. Yeah, like changed my mind.
When's the last time you slapped someone?
Brian Green.
Was that in a fight?
It was in a fight. I slapped just absolute shit out of that guy.
Something about slapping a man is nice. Mm-hmm.
Feels like the fastest way to get CTE possible.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
No slap boxing.
100%.
At this event Mike and I was at, half of them had CTE on the way in.
Yeah, those ships had sailed a long time ago. All right, guys, rockauto.com is the website that you want to go to if you work on your own car, if you need car parts, if you know your way around an engine, if you're learning about that stuff, but still, you need tools, you need car parts, you need exhaust pipes, you need handles, you need windscreen wipers, you need things that go in an engine, which I don't know the names of. Rockauto.com, that is where you want to go. They've been in business for over 20 years, and that is because they have everything that you need at the best possible prices. Plus, you know, you ever got a guy at a checkout in the store selling you things that you don't need, and of course with that store front markup. So if you've got a used car, it's probably appreciated in value. The car market is hot, which is why now is the time to keep your car well maintained. It feels good knowing that you are driving a reliable car, and rockauto.com makes that easy because every part that you need is available at the best and lowest prices. So right now, go to rockauto.com if you are looking for car parts. Rockauto.com is your go-to website, and let them know that we sent you at checkout. Please tell them that you heard about this from the Believe in Me podcast, and there is a box there so you can show our name on the website. So yeah, listen, car parts, get it from the cheapest place, quick, fast, reliable, cheap. Rockauto.com, that is the website. No code, because the prices are already so amazing. All right. Okay. So you don't have too much time, right, Anthony?
About 10 minutes.
You got about 10 minutes. All right. So, we could go down the whole analysis route and talk about fights and stuff. But I'll be honest, I prefer shooting the shit and talking utter bollocks with you. What else, Harrington? What have we got? And don't throw, what's going on in your world, Anthony? Anything worth mentioning?
No. I bought a boat yesterday.
What kind of boat?
So I bought a Mariah. It's a 21 footer. My kids are going to be able to ski and tube and all sorts of shit behind it. It sucks. It's the end of the year though, and I work the next three UFC events, and then I'm going to an Usher concert on the one off week. That was my wife's birthday present. So I work this weekend. I work next weekend. Concert in Vegas, and then I work in Paris. You're gonna be in Paris, right?
Oh, we're going to get to that in just a second, but I want to talk about this boat real quick. So you're the only man that I know that snaps his leg. Right. And then after that, he's still flying around the place working, but he's also buying 21 foot boats. Okay. Yeah. Take a fucking bow, my friend. Round of applause for Anthony Smith, everyone. And Anthony, you're going to start putting, sorry, Anthony, Brian, start putting in a fake round of applause on sometimes when we have guests on and stuff like that. Come on, man.
We need that.
They're in there sometimes.
Well, fucking more.
We need the bounds
as well.
I keep getting all this cool shit.
They go in there.
Hoping. Too. See, I keep getting this cool shit, hoping that I can bait you in here and you'll finally show your ass up in Nebraska.
And we go,
all right. Well, now we got razors, we got boats, we got redneck shit. We can go fucking fishing.
We're all coming down. Anthony and Brian will come as well. We'll get some shows done properly. I was in Contender. I was in Contender Tuesday, Vegas Saturday, Contender Tuesday, San Diego Saturday, Contender Tuesday. Wednesday, I fly off to fucking Paris. Not Paris, Bulgaria for 2 months. I never get a minute to myself. I'm so busy these days. 2 months in Paris. Sorry, in Bulgaria. But I will be in Paris and I will.
Is that where your daughter is, right?
She's in Bulgaria as well. Yeah,
she's the same movie.
Same movie. She's opening the movie. She's got the opening scene. Yeah, yeah. So here's what I want to talk about. I texted you the other day and you didn't respond. I don't know what your problem is. Giving me shit on the show about texting and not responding. You're coming to Paris, right, to work the desk.
I
have a 2 week break in film. I've got two long breaks in the film, right? Mm-hmm. One for 2 weeks when UFC Paris is on, and then I've got about 12 more days and another break later on, and my wife's coming out for the second break and we're going to do a little traveling around Europe. But for the Paris one, Anthony, I've got almost fucking 2 weeks after that free to myself. You need to fucking figure it out with the missus, you know what I mean? You need She's to coming. Get yourself oh for fuck's sake. I was like, oh we got a little BYM tour through gay Paris. Of course she's coming. Of course she wants to come to Paris.
Yeah, she's coming. There's no getting out of that one.
I was like, boys trip, Europe, Euro trip. I know.
I'm like, listen, sorry, we have to do this BYM thing. It's work. I'm gonna be
it's
there.
Work, babe.
I'm gonna be there for 10 days after I work.
It's a real issue, Doc. And isn't this the thing? I do this all the time to Rebecca. I'm like, oh God, and I don't want to do it. Oh God, I'm hating it. I really don't. Oh God, what a nightmare. And like, they want to do this thing where we're like, we tour all the pubs and like we do videos on them and stuff. It's like, oh, it's so pathetic.
It's so awful. I just want to sit in my hotel room.
Like, you know, I want to be at home with you. You're taking it easy with the feet up, with the kids. Of course I do.
I agree with you.
She's not going to come out for the first 2 weeks. Are you working in Paris? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm commentating Paris, yeah. And then, yeah, I've got a bit of downtime. So I'm going to go traveling around Europe by myself for a little bit. So any suggestions in the comments, please let me know. Best places to go. I mean, I know a few places. I'm from there. But yeah, then she comes out. But still, all right. Dominic Cruz, Chito Vera, you can make predictions real quick before you get going. I know you've only got a few more minutes. Dominic Cruz, Marlon Chito Vera, massive fight in the bantamweight division, possible title fight implications, very tough fight for both men. Marlon Chito Vera is getting better and better every single time out. Dominic Cruz, a legend and an OG of the division. Tell me who you think wins, why, break it down, give me the goods.
Man, don't hold me to this because I've still been digging into both these guys' fight film. I've been watching it all last night, all today. And I just keep going back and forth. You know, it's really the power, durability, and patience of Chito Vera versus, you know, just the funky footwork, figure eight kind of style of Dominic. Like, I don't know, like you get a different Dominic Cruz all the time. So, excuse me, the Dominic Cruz that fought like Cody Garbrandt, we haven't seen that guy in a while, but obviously he's still in there. It's weird that like Chito starts slow, which I think could hurt him, but it could be okay though. It definitely hurts him in 3-round fights. He starts really slow. Defensively, he does stay super tight and, you know, shells up, hands real high, which I think versus other guys in the division would be a big problem. But Dominic comes so wide and loopy a lot of times that I think that's probably the best defense to have for that style. I like Chito's patience a lot. He really picks something that he wants to really work on, whether it's the leg kicks or it's body shots or whatever. And he doesn't get discouraged early. So in a 5-round fight, he's willing to lose 2 rounds to really diminish the ability of your lead leg or whatever he happens to be working on. He it's been a while since I've seen someone stick to a game plan. No matter what's going on up here, if his game plan is to attack the legs, he's staying on the legs. And essentially, the only thing that's going to beat Chito is if he just runs out of time. I don't think Dominic's going to be able to hurt him enough to finish him. I like his physicality, how he pressures people. He walks him down. He just, man, I've had a lot of fun the last couple of days really just watching a lot of Chito. But, you know, if I had to pick a winner, I think Chito loses the first two and comes on strong the last three.
I agree with you. If we're going to see a finish, I think it'll come from Chito. I don't see Dominic stopping Chito. I can see him winning a decision. And I talked about this to both of them earlier, you know, because Chito does start slow. He's a slow starter. I was talking to Jason Perillo before saying, so what have you been doing to try and combat that? Because even in a five-round fight, you're right, in a three-round fight, it's super dangerous. Mm-hmm. But even in a five-round fight, if Cruz gets up the first two rounds simply with his movement, not by doing so much damage, but using that frustrating footwork, dancing around the place, kind of outpointing him, getting in, bing, bing, land a couple, and then getting on his bike and dancing around the octagon. If he does that and Vera's a little bit slow off the mark, doesn't have that sense of urgency, and dips down two rounds, well, he's under a lot of pressure to ensure that he has to win the next three, because if he doesn't, he's going to lose a decision. I think Vera has the harder shots. I think he's going to walk him down. He's going to try and cut off the cage. Dominic Cruz is going to do Dominic Cruz. I do believe takedowns are going to be a big key for Cruz. Look at the Frankie Edgar fight. Not that Vera can't grapple. Of course he can. Right. I think he's got seven submissions in the UFC or to his record. He's had some very, very dynamic submissions. I love watching Vera fight. Obviously, I'm a friend of his. I'm a friend of Dominic Cruz's as well. Cruz was giving me shit going, you know, I guess you're going to be biased in the commentary. I was like, bro.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? No, I'm not. He says, yeah, but your boy's with him. I said, yes, Marlon Vera trains with Jason Perillo and we are friends, you know? I said, but Dominic, we're also friends as well, aren't we? We have worked with each other at Fox and the UFC since about 2012. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've been out drinking
I'd like to think you guys would be friends.
I would like to think, even though we're always doing this and we're always butting heads and talking shit, it's like, is it a bit of a joke in there? I would like to think that we're both friends as well, Dominic, you know? May the best man win. He's like, yeah, right, okay. I'm like, come on, Dom. Come on. Right. There's going to be no biased commentary. Well, I've got to ask you then. If you were to place a bet right now, where would it go?
I would put it on Cheeto, because Dominic winning depends on a couple things. It depends on his movement and his ability to not take any shots. As he's getting older, he doesn't fight often enough for me to see that those slow diminishing effects happen. At some point in time, Dominic Cruz is going to fall off the edge. I'm not saying that's going to be Saturday, but even if he slowed down a little bit, I think he's going to have a tough time. If he's down a notch, then that evens the playing field, and then that tells me Cheeto's got the harder shots.
He's a 37-year-old bantamweight, so that's a fair point to make.
Yeah.
Those lighter weight classes, we know they rely on speed.
I think that's what happened to Joseph Benavidez. I still think technically and skill-wise, Benavidez is probably still one of the best guys in the world.
Oh.
But his whole game is built around his reaction time and his speed. It doesn't need to fall a lot, just a fucking little tick down, and it changes the whole game. A fraction changes the whole game. If that happens to Dominic since the last time he's fought, it's going to be a tough time.
Look at athletics, you know, 100-meter sprints and all the rest of it. You're dealing with milliseconds that will make you a world champion or not. And it is kind of like that. As you say, you just lose a little bit. And if we look here, Dominic Cruz is a plus 155 underdog coming into this one. Hometown, 37 years old, 4 fights in the last 6 years, 2-2. San Diego, lot of pressure. Do you think that's going to affect him?
I do a little bit. I think the age, I think being at home, I think you start changing shit. Like, fighting at home is always great, but everything's different. You're used to traveling. You're used to being in hotels. You got your system. You got your routine. That all changes when you're at home. You know what I mean? And the other bullshit that comes along with that. But who knows, man? Dominic might show up and just be a little bit of a flashback to the old Dominic Cruz. I'm not going to discredit him, but I guess that's my job as an analyst on the desk. I make the picks and I tell you why. I mean, that's my pick, and he'll probably hate me for it.
Final question, and then I know you got to go. In fact, you got to go right now. I'm keeping you a minute over time.
I'll take one more.
Making the picks. Obviously, when I'm commentating, I get to sit on the fence.
Lucky bastard.
I know. I love it. I'm not messing. Have you ever had any pushback or any comments? Or any people
from fighters?
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Any that you're comfortable sharing?
I think because she'd be a good sport about it. Cynthia Calvillo was a little upset one time.
Right.
I don't remember who she fought, but she fought to a draw, so she didn't lose. I did pick against her, but I was very nice about it. Like, listen, I'm not 100% sure on this one. If Cynthia is able to get her grappling going, I think that she can win. If her opponent forces her to stay striking, I think Cynthia is going to have a really tough time. She's going to lose that battle. Well, both of them were able to do both of those things. Marina Rodriguez. Both of them were able to do both of those things. And I think Marina had her hurt really bad and ended up being like a 10-8 round. But then Cynthia wins the next two rounds grappling. So exactly what I said would happen if both of those ladies were able to do their thing happened. It just ended up being a draw. So I was wrong on the pick. But she was fairly cool about it. But she was like, damn, man, why are you always picking against me? I'm like, it's not personal, I promise. Like,
yeah,
I just look at it and I, you know what I mean? Like Cheeto and Dom is a perfect example. Like we work with both of them. So no matter what, you're going to piss somebody off. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's tricky. It is a minefield because it isn't personal. We are paid when you're in that position. You have to make a pick. And the reality is we don't know, but we're looking at the fights. We're looking at the history and we are trying to make an educated guess and we're not trying to offend anybody. But anyway, we'll let you go, Anthony. And in fact, we'll go. I got to say, these are getting funner and funner, better and better. You know what I mean? Soon it will be a non-MMA podcast. It's just going to be Anthony Smith flexing what a fucking man he is. What are you calling the boat?
The Lady Lion.
The Lady Lion. Ooh, I like it. I'm coming out. I'm coming for the Lady Lion.
Hell yeah. All right, man. I'll see you in a few hours. Don't go to bed early. You can be up till midnight. Ain't gonna hurt
you. I'll be up. Don't worry about me.
I'll text you when I land.
Get the fuck out of here. Come on.
Later, guys.
All right, guys, let's talk about Fit Soda. This is one of my favorite products right now. I absolutely love it. Okay. Soda, it's great. It's delicious. I crave it. I often when I eat something, I want something fizzy. But we all know the deal by now. Soda is not good for you. It is loaded with all kinds of chemicals. It is full of sugar. If you're obese, you're probably drinking a lot of soda. If you got bad teeth, you probably drank a lot of soda. Fit Soda. First of all, it's a hydration drink. It has branched chain amino acids for recovery and electrolytes for hydration. And it has zero calories, okay? Plus, it tastes amazing. Lots of flavors. The orange cream, delicious. The root beer float is a good one. The cherry cola is a good one as well. But for me, it is the sparkling citrus. That is the one that I love. It's very good. I'm telling you, throw a little vodka in there. It gets even better. Fit Soda is the one. It is guilt-free soda drinking. Trust me, you're going to love it. It's delicious. It's nice. And it's good for you. It's a hydration thing. It's got branched chain amino acids. It's got electrolytes and it's good. And it will settle that soda craving in your life. Go to fitsoda.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get 20% off. If you go to the store and you're buying massive bottles of Coca-Cola and Sprite and all that stuff, you're an idiot. Don't do it. It's bad for you. It's going to give you diabetes. It's going to make you look like shit. You're going to feel like shit. You're going to age quicker. Your teeth are going to rot. Fitsoda.com. That is where you want to go. Use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get 20% off. I'm telling you, I love this product. And there he is, Anthony Lionheart Smith. And I'm probably going to dip out in a minute as well. But we got a couple of questions for you. As always, if you've got any, send them into bympod@gmail.com. I am here in San Diego. A great fight card this weekend. So make sure you tune in. Big crowd as well. We're not at the Apex. Beautiful hotel. If you look out my mirror here, you've got all the ocean and a marina and lots of boats and stuff like that. So I'm going to go for a run shortly and, try and lose a few pounds. But right now, Brian, do we have any questions?
Real quick, before we get to those, if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and hit that little notification button to find out whenever new episodes drop. And while we're there, hit the like button. You're already watching. If you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And tell your friends. And make sure they subscribe and like. Buy merchandise. And like, send really nice comments. Maybe send me a check. I don't know. But scratch our backs. Brian, what do we have?
All right, so we got a question here from a guy named Preston Starcher, who's looking for some advice on starting his mixed martial arts career.
All right, Preston, let's have a listen.
DJ Mikey B, Anthony, question.
So Anthony.
I'm a 1-1 amateur fighter. I just started recently within the past year. And there's a lot of doubt coming from the outside. And there's a lot of doubt coming from the inner to me, you know what I'm saying? So I was wanting you guys to speak a little bit about when you was coming up, how did you deal with the people that told you that you wasn't going to make it, that it was like, that it was more of like a crazy dream that you should just quit on rather than a goal that you should work for? And how did you also overcome yourself believing that you wouldn't make it?
Mm.
Thank you, guys. Mm. And I'm out later.
All right, Preston, thank you for the question. It all comes down to you, mate. Do you truly believe you have what it takes to make it? Or are you kidding yourself? If you truly believe you have what it takes to make it, if you know you have what it takes, and I'm not just talking about the skills. Skills can be learned. Do you have the heart? Do you have the dedication? Do you have the willpower to go through and endure a training camp, a vicious training camp? Stay the course. Stay away from partying with your friends. You know, stay away from drinking and all these distractions. You know, work on your body, work on your craft, dedicate yourself to learning several different martial arts. And can you fight? You know, have you had a fight? And now everything I'm saying here, other than the fighting part, crosses over to real life as well. Whatever it is you want to do, whatever you want to achieve in your life, have you got what it takes? And what is the plan for what you want to do? These days for a career in mixed martial arts, it's kind of, you know, the stall is set out. You know, the UFC is there. There is a many, many proven track records and a way. There's a beaten path. You know how to do it. You know what you got to do. There's super gyms all over the goddamn world. So finding access to great coaches isn't the hard thing. Maybe it's not close to you, but you got to travel, but you know where you can find them. And there's a path. You win a few fights, you get a manager, you get in the UFC, you get on the contender, and away you go, you know? But in other lines of work, because not everyone wants to be a fighter, people listening to this, it's a similar thing. What is it that you want to do? What is it you want to achieve in this life? What are your skills? I always say, I believe everyone has a skill. You're just going to identify what that is. Mine was fighting. And then through that, I sat there and I thought, well, what is the absolute ultimate that I can achieve? What is the furthest that that can take me? And of course, that was being a UFC champion. So what is the game plan? How do I get there? How do I go from being a guy sitting in Clitheroe, England, and absolutely flat broke to being a UFC champion? Well, I'm going to have to make sacrifices. And you put the plan in place and you're going to start at the absolute bottom and slowly but surely work your way up. You've got to acquire the skills, acquire the knowledge, start fighting for free, you know, same in whatever else it is. If you're not a fighter, what is the path? What are the skills you need to learn? What is the path to succeed in that business or whatever it is? But then the hard work starts. Then you've got to do it. Then you've got to stay the course. Then you've got to stay dedicated and not give up on yourself. It's what I said to Anthony Smith, and I've been saying it a lot recently, but it's so true. You know, that's why I wrote a book about it called Quitters Never Win. But still, there you go, Preston. All the best on your journey, my friend. Wishing you nothing but the best. How about that for a little speech, Brian?
I'm fucking killing it, dude.
Bro.
I'm like inspired. I'm going to go run a marathon tomorrow or something.
Do some pull-ups and shit.
Absolutely.
Go do karate in the basement.
Look at how much room we have for activities. So, yeah. We have a new.
This was fight. A terrible idea. Go on.
We got a question here from Mr. Josh Peckman. And just for future reference, if you're going to send in a question, let's try to not do it on your AirPod iBuds out in the middle of a field because it's going to sound like shit.
How do I get a job in the UFC? I work a shitty job in the south of England, and I give it 100%, even though I hate the fuck out of it. And yeah, I want to get in with the UFC. I've tried internships, but never hear back. Or even a job on the podcast, holding a camera or a microphone. Anyway, boys, I fucking love it. Keep up, yeah?
Well, contrary to what you said, Brian, I feel like that sounds great. He's off there, and sounds like he's near the White Cliffs of Dover. Seagulls.
I cut out about 40 seconds of that.
Well, the bit that I heard sounded glorious. What was his name again?
Josh Peckman.
Peckman. First of all, change your name, Peckman. Right? Nobody wants to hire somebody with the last name Peckman. Sounds weird. You know what? I'm going to tell you how a good friend of mine, and actually the guy that wrote the book, Quitters Never Win, well, Cole wrote it with me. I did the talking. He wrote it down, and then we tweaked it as we went along. A good friend of mine, and he works on my YouTube channel now as well, amongst many other things, Anthony Evans. He wanted to work for the UFC. And he ended up working for the UFC. He became one of their main PR agents. He ran Fight Pass. He became head of PR for the whole of Europe, actually. Doesn't work for them anymore because, you know, things move on and WME came in and they had their own people and stuff. You know, nothing untoward or any bad blood or anything like that, but, you know, it ran its course. But all he did essentially was... He surrounded himself in the sport. Obviously, he had talent. He was a very talented writer. He came from the combat sports world. He was a boxing writer. And he realized that there was going to be a big boom in mixed martial arts. And he submerged himself into it. And he kind of became a bothersome fly. He would always show up at the events. He would show up at fights, at press conferences. He would send in resumes. He would write articles. He would do whatever he could. And as I say, you know, that kind of perseverance. And again, for anything in life, whatever you're trying to achieve, and I'm not saying you're going to get a job through the UFC. Maybe you do. Maybe you start sending in your resume to the office in London. Maybe you write articles. Maybe you send them examples of your work. You show up at shows. You do events. You do videos. You do YouTube videos. You do breakdowns. You show them what you are capable of. Again, in anything, don't give up on your dream. If that's what you want to do, then go for it. You know, but who knows? Maybe Mr. Peckman, you'll be running the European division in no time at all. Don't hold your breath. Probably won't, but you never know. You got a dream. And if not for the UFC, there's plenty of other stuff out there, plenty of other promotions. But I wish you all the goddamn best. Brian, do we have one more?
We do have one more. It's a little longer and a little heavier if you wanted to save it till Monday.
No, let's go long and heavy, like all right. My old man.
All right, so...
Literally and figuratively.
Here we go. Hey, guys, how's it going? My name's Cody. I'm from Canada. Big fan. I was listening to one of your podcasts with Anthony Smith from last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. You guys were talking about your wives and how supportive they were and how they helped you through hard times. I'm currently going through something like that myself right now where I'm in the middle of leaving a pretty shitty job and going to a job that's a lot more promising, a higher starting wage, and I'm not trying to move up in the world, right? But right now it requires a lot of support, especially financially, from my girlfriend, which as a guy is hard to deal with. It's hard on the ego, having to ask your girlfriend to help you pay bills, to ask her for money to help you with gas to get to work, and all the things she's doing to support me right now. My question to you is, how did you guys get through that? What are some of the lies you told yourselves that saved your ego from being too damaged by it? And what do you think you did in hindsight that was able to show your wife how grateful you were? Because I would like to show my girlfriend how grateful I am for how much she's helping me. But flowers don't seem like enough. Anyways. Hope you guys have some insight on it. Hopefully that wasn't too sad, you know?
No. And,
have a good one, guys.
Thank you for the question. We appreciate it. And I don't mind questions like this as well. Gives me a chance to open my mind a little bit and talk about some other things. But you're absolutely right because, you know, certainly I guess it's less and less prominent in this day and age. But, you know, there is still that stereotypical cliched opinion in the world that the man should be the provider. And that the man should be the one working the long hours and all the rest of it. And the woman should be, you know, of course, working and doing her own thing these days. But there's still that stereotype and those opinions still exist. And you can say that they don't and it's all equal opportunities, but it kind of does. It does. So I totally get it. But my wife supported me, you know. I mean, what are you trying to achieve? Obviously, you're not here, but is it realistic what you're trying to do? If it isn't realistic, if it's just some kind of pipe dream, then maybe you're being selfish, you know, and you need to put your relationship first. But if it is something you can absolutely achieve, it isn't a crazy pipe dream, or even it is a pipe dream, do you have confidence and does she believe in you?
Mike, I mean, you're a former UFC champion and I put this show on the internet for money. Pipe dreams happen.
Yes. No. Pipe dreams absolutely do happen. It's like my daughter right now. She's in her first movie, you know, and... it's the first movie, you know what I mean? So let's not get carried away. But she has a dream now. She has ambition. And for the first time, I've seen a change in her. She wants to do something with herself and she knows what that is. You know, if this is something where you feel that you can do it, then there's nothing wrong with your wife supporting you because it's a partnership and that's what you do. My wife supported me. I quit work back in 2005 to become a cage fighter, but an MMA fighter, which didn't even really exist that term back then. You know, and everyone thought I was crazy. Everyone thought I was being a bad father, being selfish, being reckless. You know, we were already in debt and I quit work. you know. But she continued to work as a dental nurse. She wasn't bringing in much money. I was doing a little bit of DJing at the weekend, but earning next to nothing, let's be honest. You know, but we made it work, you know. And then now, as you say, how do you repay them? Well, of course, you know, you be a good husband, you take care of them, you be grateful, you help out in any way that you can. And then hopefully if you start reaping the rewards, then she gets rewarded. You take care of her. Like Rebecca now, obviously not everyone can be as lucky as this. You know, she doesn't have to work financially. We're okay. So she doesn't work and, you know, I'll take care of her. It doesn't have to be that though. That's a very shallow thing. Just be loyal. Just be loyal, be grateful and treat her well with respect. That's all you got to do. Like my wife and I, I'm always talking shit and we're being silly. We do lives on YouTube and we go back and forth and I'm teasing and she gives me shit, but she knows it's all just jokes. She knows that's my sense of humor. She's the exact same way with me as well. You know, just got to love and respect them above everything else. If you do that, then I'm sure she'll appreciate that. And if she loves you, she'll want to see you trying to achieve your potential. Let's be honest. That's the main point there. If she truly loves you, she'll be happy to support you, to see you try and achieve your potential and help the pair of you, you know, because she's gonna benefit from whatever it is that you're trying to achieve as well. But still, whatever it is, my friend up there in Canada, good luck on your journey. All the best. And to all you people, you beautiful believers, thank you very much. Subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done so already. There's a lot of you must not have subscribed because these subscribers are going up slow. We're at 180,000. Fuck me. This should be on 1.8 million. Let's go. Let's go. Anyway.
Also, right now, I'm in the chat telling you to do this. So fucking do it. Hit the
yes,
like.
Yes, correct. Hit the like, hit the subscribe, and enjoy the fights. We'll be back with Anthony Smith on Monday. He doesn't know that, but we're roping him in. He did Thursday this week because he had surgery last week. Tough shit, baby boy. We're doing it on a Monday. So enjoy your weekends, and we'll talk then. Until then, take care. All the best.